Mike Kelly pointed this out to me, but there's a guy in the newspaper. Some of you might know him. He's tall and skinny, got a real baldo head. He's one of our firefighters. He's running sound for us this morning. Jim Summers in the newspaper. Proud of you, Jim. I'm just proud to know you. We harass each other quite often. We like it that way, don't we? Yeah. That's right, Tonto. Well, I have this message, it could change your life completely. But I could probably say that about every single message that I preach. You know, tomorrow, anybody have an idea what tomorrow is? Monday. Tomorrow is Monday. Valentine's Day. And when I think of Valentine's Day, I think of marriage. I have been married to this sweet gal for 20 years in May. Yeah. Now, 20 years is a drop in the bucket for some of you. Some of you, Jim, how long have you and Joanne been married? 60 what? Huh? You guys will be married for 70 years? Wow. See, that's just a fraction of the time. But Valentine's Day makes me think of marriage, and we're going to go through a lot of different scriptures and different books of the Bible this morning. I don't think it will take me a real long time to do that, but just put your seatbelts on. Listen, forget what time it is. If your tummy's growling, it'll be okay. Okay? I want you to hear the word of God this morning. Listen, I wasn't dare going to rush through that time a while ago. Okay? When the Lord is moving, I want to shut up and allow the Lord to move. And that's just my philosophy about it. But when I think of marriage, when I think about Valentine's Day, I think about marriage. And then the second chapter of the Bible, Genesis chapter 2, talks about that marriage. God created Adam, and then he realized that Adam needed someone to be with. He needed a companion. And so God gave him that companion, and her name was Eve. And it's wonderful. And so marriage is this thing that God established. It wasn't created by the government. Right? Matter of fact, not very many things were created by the government. God created marriage. And so, I want to take you through a few scriptures. This morning, we're going to talk about this thing called divine romance. Divine romance, this means God's love for his people. God's love for us. And really and truly, this can change our lives. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Jeremiah 31. I want to welcome you if you're watching from home and on the live stream. We want to welcome you. Jeremiah 31, verse 3. God's speaking through the prophet Jeremiah, and Jeremiah writes about the Lord. He said, "Long ago the Lord said to Israel, 'I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love. With unfailing love, I have drawn you to myself.'" Now, what does that paint a picture of? That paints a picture to me of relationship. I've drawn you to myself. It wasn't, God hasn't drawn us to a form of religion, has he? It always hurts my ears when somebody will say to me about me, "Yeah, I'm not religious like you're religious." I'm like, "Oh, come on, please don't. Please be nice. I don't want to be a religious person." I want to be a Jesus follower. Do you understand the difference there? Because religion is about following rules. And being a follower of Jesus is simply following Jesus, learning how to do that, right? But this the way this is worded, he says, with unfailing love, I have drawn you to myself. Long ago, God says, I have loved you. Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. He loves you. He loves you. Some of you may not believe that. Maybe you don't believe that because of some things that you've done in the past. Well, God's people weren't perfect either. The ones that he was writing to right here, the Israel, they weren't perfect. You know what? God knew that. Because my Bible says that Jesus basically was willing to go to the cross before any person ever sinned. Let that sink in a moment. Jesus was willing to go to the cross to redeem us back to God. In other words, God knew we were going to mess up. That's why Jesus came. And John writes in his epistle, he says, if any of you are without sin, you're lying. Right? So we know that we've all sinned. Romans tells us, Paul wrote, all have sinned and fall short of God's glory. But God still says, I've loved you, my people. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Not a love that's easily swayed, but an everlasting or unfailing love. That love is still strong. That love is still there. Even though our world is messed up. Even though maybe your life is messed up. God's love for you is strong. Praise God. Turn with me now to Hosea chapter 2. God speaks through the prophet Hosea. He says, I will make you my wife forever. Huh? God says, I will make you his people. I will make you my wife forever, showing you righteousness and justice. There's unfailing love again and compassion. And then in verse 20, I will be faithful to you and make you mine. And you will finally know me as the Lord. God wants to make you. He's making the church. The church consists of believers all around the world. We're going to be his bride someday. And he's looking at us. And he's looking at us with favor. Excuse me. He wants us to be his. Do you see this theme of divine romance? Is it beginning to make a little bit of sense? God wants us to be close to him. He's not pushing us away, but instead here he paints a picture of him and his people being as a groom and a bride, a husband and a wife. Pretty interesting, huh? So, let's look further. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. John writes this, and he says, we know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. He's saying here, we know what real love is. We know that God loves us because we saw how he did it, and he demonstrated his love for us through the cross, as I already mentioned. He demonstrated his love. He proved his love for us because he went to the cross. That was God saying, hey, I want you real bad in my life. I want to know you. Matter of fact, I'm going to work it out so that none of that stuff you've ever done wrong, so that will be all washed away. That's what he did. That's what he was saying. And look at this. We're not going to go there on the screen, but in, excuse me, do you realize that when Jesus was crucified, the Bible says that when he's nailed to the cross, right? The Bible says that when he took that last breath, right after he took that last breath, The Bible says that the curtain in the temple was torn from top to bottom. Do you know what I hear in that? See, that curtain separated the holy place from the most holy place. And in the holy place of the temple, you didn't go into. Only one person once a year, the high priest, would go in once a year to minister to the Lord and offer sacrifice there. But not everybody could go in. But Jesus changed that. And basically what he changed was here's what I hear in the veil being torn in two. Here's what I hear. Are you ready? I hear God saying, this is my invitation to you. Come, I want you to come. That's what I hear. I hear God saying, this is your invitation to come to me because I want to know you. I've made a way for you. Look, he even tore that veil. Saying, I want you to be close to me. Come on in. Come on in. You're invited to come in. This divine romance that God, that God loves you individually. Verse, John chapter 4. And this is how we're supposed to respond. In a conversation that Jesus had with this woman at a well, and she was not a saint. She maybe some mix up stuff in her life. John chapter 4 verse 23. And in this conversation that he had with this woman, they got to talking about worship. And I think that this is our response to the Lord, to worship. And let's look at what Jesus said about that worship. Jesus said, but the time is coming. Indeed, it is here now when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. We've heard, most of us have heard that before. Let's continue on. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. God's looking for that. He's looking for those who will worship him that way. And again, what I hear is God's inviting us in. He wants to know us. He wants that relationship with us. He loves you, as I've said many times before, he loves you like crazy. He's looking for those who will worship him because then they will have understood his love and he can continue to pour out his love on them. Kind of like this morning. We worshiped. We were worshiping the Lord, and he poured himself out in our lives this morning in different ways. Praise God. Listen, I can't do that. You got to know that I can't do that. I'm just a messenger. But when we invite the living God in, no telling what could happen. But he's looking for people who will worship. He's looking for people who will respond to his truth and say, God, you're incredible. And let's look at what it says in verse 24. For God is spirit. Everybody say, for God is spirit. Okay, God. He says, God is spirit. And then Jesus continues on right here. He says, so those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. What? How do I worship God in spirit? Well, this is the body, right? We're made up of three parts. Body, which is what we see. Soul, which is our mind, will, and emotions. And our spirit. We've got to be able to connect with God, with our spirit to his spirit. That's what he's looking for. And you may have seen me, and maybe you saw some others raise their hands. That's just kind of an outward expression of what's going on in our spirit. Okay? So, but it has to be the spirit worshiping. See, Jesus said, the Father is looking for those who will worship in spirit and in truth. Okay? Because God is spirit, that's the only way we can truly worship him. And then, of course, truth, I think, has to do with us Excuse me. I think the truth has to do with us being real in our worship. In other words, not being fake because we're at church and there's other people around. That's a pretense. And I don't think God is honored by that. I don't think God is pleased by that. So don't come in here and try to play church. We can get real good at playing church, can't we, church? We know what to do. We know what to say, whatever. Forget all that. Let's come in and say, God, we're hungry for you. Amen. You're the only one that's going to do. Touch my life. Right? It's just real, real simple. And this is the way I see stuff. And I wonder if we complicate it all too much. Maybe I complicate it too much. It's about us. It's about God loving you, and it's about you responding to him. It's about it. Yeah, I know that there's difficult things that happen in our life, daily, weekly, whatever. But he's with you. He's with you. And it's exciting. And so this worship is our response to God's divine romance toward us. When we realize that he is crazy in love with us. Enough so that he would even call us his bride. Okay. Do you remember when you were, maybe you were about to get married. We may have to go back a few years, right? In your brain. Remember when you were thinking about asking that special person to marry you? Women, remember when you were thinking that he was thinking about asking you? And some of you probably got all giddy. I know I did. That ring almost burned a hole in my pocket. I had to go ask her. I wasn't waiting any longer. I drove up to Kansas City. By God's grace, I found her parents' house. I said, hey, you guys got a few minutes? I need to ask you a question. Well, I guess that'd be all right, they said. And here we are. I'm trying to take you back on that trip. It wasn't some nonchalant feeling, was it? Well, God's feeling for you isn't just nonchalant. Like, well, if they want to be with me, then. No, as a matter of fact, he's gone to great lengths to redeem you. He's gone to great lengths to show you his love. He's gone to great lengths to encourage you, to speak to your heart. He's gone to great, great lengths. And it kind of goes down like this. Somebody asked Jesus, how much do you love me? And he said, I love you this much. Spread out his arms, right? On the cross. Aren't you thankful that Jesus loves you? John 3:16, for God so loved the whole wide world, is the way I like to do it. Chad's paraphrase. For God loved the whole wide world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what God wants. God wants you to be able to experience everlasting life. Think about that with me for a second. God wants you to be in heaven with him forever. That's what he wants. That's what he wants. That's his plan. That's his will. But he will not take away your free will to choose it. But instead, what he will do is he will allow you to reject it. How could you reject such a salvation, though? I mean, this offer, you can't pass it up. He wants to forgive you of your sins. He wants to love you like crazy. He wants to lead and guide you through life. And then, at the end, he wants you to spend eternity in heaven with him. Amen. What part of that doesn't sound very good? Oh, yeah, the part that we have to give up our sin. Yeah, it's that part that trips many people up. If I stepped on your toes, just be quiet. It's all free. You don't have to give him the offering. But when he has your heart, you'll want to, because you want somebody else to know about him. Well, God's so good. We're a quarter of the way through. I'm just kidding. Revelation chapter 19. This is going on with the same theme here, but I want to point something out to you in this. Revelation 19, verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice, and let us give honor to him. Hallelujah. For the time has come for the wedding feast of the Lamb. Okay, this is a future event. It's not happened yet. This is at the end of life as we know it here. For the time has come for the wedding feast of the Lamb, which you're invited to, by the way, because of God's divine love for you. The time has come for the wedding feast of the Lamb. Anybody want to go there? Anybody want to be there? Me, I want to be there. I don't care about the food. I'm sure it's going to be great. But our Lord is going to be there. Okay? But look at this last part. And this should humble us and cause us to evaluate. And his bride, that's the church. All of us come together, but also then each one of us individually. And his bride has prepared herself. Are you preparing for this wedding that we're gonna be united with the groom? Are you preparing for it? Well, when we prepare a wedding, there's a lot to prepare for, isn't there? Invitations, which could go on and on and on. Cake. You got to secure the facility, the church or venue or the minister. You got to have one of those. You could elope, yeah, you could elope. But you still prepare. You got to get there. Marriage license, yeah, cake, flowers. A lot of preparation, right? Takes time. It takes months even. Wedding dress, tux, or however you're going to do it. And then the day of, you got to decorate, or the day before, you got to decorate. Are we the church, which is the bride of Christ, are we preparing for our wedding to the groom? In other words, are we trying to live in such a way that we're honoring him? Are we getting ready for that day? Are we excited about being united with him? Are we excited about being with him forever? Are we excited about eternity? Or are we just having so much fun here on earth? Look what the scripture says. His bride has prepared herself. So I'm going to go out on a limb and say, those of us who aren't willing to prepare, we're not part of the bride. Ouch. If we're not willing to prepare, maybe we're not part of the bride. If we're not excited about the groom, if we're not excited about our union with him, if we are not excited about this divine romance that God has loved you like crazy and done extreme amounts of things to pursue you and win you over. If you're not excited about any of that, you need to pray, God, set my heart on fire. It's too wet. Look at this. Exodus 34. Exodus 34, verse 13. And as I get ready to read this, I'm going to ask my wife if she'll get ready to lead us in as we get ready for the altar time. Exodus 34, verse 14. Moses writes, "You must worship no other gods. Must not love other things more than God. Must not allow them to have that place in your heart that belongs only to God." You know that we were created to worship God? We were created for a relationship with him? We try to fill that with so many other things, but we're only made to know him and to worship him. You must worship no other gods, for the Lord, whose very name is jealous. Say jealous. Whose very name is jealous. The Lord is a God who is jealous about his relationship with you. Do you hear that? God is jealous about his relationship with you. Matter of fact, James even talks about it in chapter 4. He says that he longs for his spirit to live and dwell in us. He longs to know us. He longs to be united with us. He longs for a relationship with you. And too often, we hear Jesus knocking at the door of our heart and we say, go away, I'm busy. I don't have time for you right now. I might get to you later. Being the king of all kings, I would be like, okay, that's weird. But it happens to him daily. He's the king of kings. And he loves you. He's knocking on the door of your heart. Why don't you open the door and say, I'm ready. I'm ready, Jesus. Amen. Come on in. Come on in. So here's what I want to do. A moment ago, I called this an altar time, and it's called that because I'm going to invite you to the front if this is striking a chord with you. But I also like to call it a response time. We've got to respond to the word of the Lord. We've got to respond to what the Holy Spirit is doing in our hearts. So this morning, don't shut the Holy Spirit up. Don't push him away. This morning, if you hear God knocking on the door of your heart, I'm just simply going to encourage you to respond to him. It might be that maybe God's given you a greater understanding of his love for you, and you just want to seek him. The altars are open for that. Or maybe you're here this morning and you say, I need Jesus' forgiveness. I need to begin that relationship with him. Matter of fact, can we bow our hearts? If that's you and you say, I want to begin a relationship with Jesus today and ask him to forgive me, and I'm ready to lay my life down because I realize that his love for me is incredible. And I want to enter that relationship. If that's you, just slip up your hand so that I can see it. Pastor Chad, yes, I want to begin a relationship with Jesus. I need him to forgive me of my sins. Yeah, I see that. Is there anyone else? I'm ready to lay down my life and offer it up to Jesus. I'm ready to open the door of my heart and allow him in. Okay. And here's the other part of it. There's a whole community that needs Jesus' love because God loves them. There's a whole world. Over 7 billion people. I'm going to open up these altars if you want to pray about any of those aspects. Or thank God and praise him and rejoice for his love for you. And meet me up here. Let's give him praise. Let's seek him this morning.
Come, Lord Jesus, come. Dip your heart in the stream of life. Let the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the waves of His mercy. As deep cries out to deep, we sing, come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Oh, Holy Spirit, come. Oh, Holy Spirit.
Thank you for what you do. Thank you for who you are. We worship who you are. Now, Lord, we honor you in this place, and we thank you for your great love for us. You demonstrated your love for us by going to the cross. You demonstrated it, God. You're working in our lives, and we just thank you. Now, Holy Spirit, would you drive this message home? Would you drive this message to the depths of our hearts? Give us wisdom and understanding of it, of your divine love for us. Thank you. It's incredible, God, the way that you do, the way that you love us. We worship you because of it. That is our response to you. We thank you for your love, and we praise you for your love. Now, God, fill us up so much with your love that we're able to share it with others so they can know your great love as well. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for working in us today. Now, God, I ask that you go with your people. Give them a wonderful day, wonderful week. Be with them, lead them, guide them. Fill them with your Spirit. Teach them wonderful things in your word. God, smile upon them. May your hand be with them. And I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. It's so good to see each one of you today. And we are dismissed. God bless you. We do have service tonight at 6 o'clock. And Wednesday nights at 6:30. Bless you.